We started, if you remember, ladies, last class, looking at the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lotzato's writings. And he makes an interesting distinction based upon the Pasuk in the Torah that Hashem created man from the earth. However, he was given a Nishmat Chaim, a living soul. Says the Ramchal, God decided that we humans are made up of two opposites. Sound familiar? Good. One is the guf, the other is the neshama. The guf is mukhwar, it's physical, it's gashmi, comes from the earth. Soul, however, is elevated and comes from the spiritual realm. He said that the two are in constant battle. The physical draws the person one way. The spiritual draws the person the other way. Not only that, whoever wins, wins everything. Winner takes all. When the physical wins, the soul goes down. When the soul wins, the physical goes up. You can mekadesh yourself. You can make yourself holy and lift yourself up. This battle is a tough one. It's constant. It never stops. The soul, the intellect, and the body and its desires. We haven't said, by the way, that the body is bad. We haven't said that it's ra. We haven't said that we're dealing with a evil body. We're just saying that it has its own predilections, its own desires. And this battle is constantly happening. However, since this battle is such a tough one, it has a set time. It's chokuk, he says, set time, and that time lasts for the lifetime that a person exists, 70, 80, God willing, 120, if not more years that a person exists. That's pretty much a good summary of what we said last class. Let's move to the bottom paragraph, 3 on page 3, and the Ramchal is carrying on. And he says that since the guf and the neshama are so different, and since the reward, we said, comes to the soul in the next world, we are dealing with two different worlds as well. In the physical world, the world of earning reward, or as he calls it, hishtadlut, the effort we put into this world, that's a this world thing. This world is all about putting our hishtadlut, our effort, into prevailing, into winning, in order to reach what he calls shleimut, perfection. Okay? So this world is there to challenge us. It is full of maximum challenge. Just have a look inside. V'olam k'fi yitzchalef zmanav, kach ruini shitzchalef mitzivo v'shar b'karav, ki kol zman hishtadlut, all the time of hishtadlut, of effort, hinei tzarech shiyeh, v'tchona achat, is one way, shiyeh b'chol limsor bo, kol inyanim istarechem lo l'fi inyan hishtadlut azeh. This world is set up perfectly for us to achieve perfection through our hishtadlut. Pirish, what does that mean? This war of which we spoke has to be there. Between the mind and the physical. Nothing's going to block the physical from doing what it wants to do. But nothing's going to stop the brain. It's an equal fight. Although we mentioned last class that it's actually a home crowd game. So it's going to be harder for the soul to win over. Still, there is a physical challenge, there's a maximum challenge that the body goes through. And the spiritual as well has limits. Okay. Now let's talk about the next world. That's this world. The next world, which we refer to as Olam Haba. Now, Olam Haba, you want to write this down, and this is just an introduction. We're going to go to each of these in a lot more detail. Actually, the middle one in a lot more detail. Olam Haba is a go-to term for three possible things. Number one that we refer to Olam Haba is where the soul goes to after it leaves this world. Okay? We all know that people die. Whatever lives dies. the soul goes on to another world, and actually that world, says the Ramban, this is actually the Ramban's division on this, Ramban, Nachmanides, he says that actually is called Gan Eden. Gan Eden is the place, the location where all our souls were housed before they came into this world, and it is where our souls will be housed and homed after we leave this world. Okay, now Gan Eden was also the reference, the name given to the place where Adam and Rishon lived. We'll talk about Adam in a few moments, but it's also the spiritual realm where it goes through. Now we refer to that as Olam Haba. Actually, it's not Olam Haba; it's Gan Eden. The second reference, when you say Olam Haba, could also be referring to this, and that is Yemot HaMashiach. Now, there's a lot written on this period. We have a vast amount, and we're going to go through just a selection. It's going to take us 7, 8, maybe 9 classes just to get through this, and we'll be touching the surface. Yemot HaMashiach is referring to after Mashiach comes. Okay? And the Gemara, Midrash, is full of thoughts, ideas, the prophets, the Nevi'im, where we get most, pretty much all our information on this, is jam-packed with events about Yemot HaMashiach. The final one is, anybody know? Tzchiyat HaMetim. Now, strangely enough, there's not too much written on this. The prophet says, Ayin lo ra'ah. We don't exactly know when precisely this is going to occur. We know it's going to happen after Yemot HaMashiach. But there's not too much on it. We will do maybe 1 or 2, maximum 3 classes on this, because there's just not too much. The prophets talk about it a little bit, but it's not so clear exactly what it's going to be like. We'll see, the Ramchal is going to say there's going to be a time after this, which we have no clue, even he says is one of the great mysteries of when we reach the 8th millennium. We're going to spend time. Now, what's interesting about these three things that are all referred to as Olam Haba? Actually, when we say Olam Haba, we're referring to which one of these three? Number 3. When we say Olam Haba, this is what we're really referring to after the resurrection of the dead. This is actually what we're referring to when we say Olam Haba, but it's become a go-to term to refer to all three. Okay?
Wait, that's the English translation. Wait, what's the English translation?
Resurrection of the dead. It is also the 13th principle of the Rambam, of the 13th Ikrei Emunah, the 13 principles of Maimonides that you have to believe. If you're a believing Jew, you've got to believe in this. Oh, and this. And this. Okay? These are central elements of Jewish life. What's fascinating about these three is that this one does not take place in this world. The soul leaves its body. But Yemot HaMashiach and Tzchiyat HaMetim take place here, in Olam Hazeh, but are referred to as Olam Haba. Are we clear on this? Any questions? You should have lots of questions, but we're going to go deep into these three elements for the duration of our course. That's where we're going. Who's excited about that? God, you look depressed. Okay, fantastic. Says the Ramchal, Uvizman kibul haschar. Okay, so this is referred to at the time of Kibul Schar, the receiving our reward. We did not receive the reward in this world for our mitzvah, for our actions. We receive them in Olam Haba. Vizman Kibul Schar, hine ra'i leshia matzav hafchilazeh. Now, if this world is where we achieve Olam Hazeh, therefore Olam Hazeh is going to be hard work, and the world that surrounds us is fitting for the job. Just like a person who works, who is a skilled builder, he goes onto a building site, and the world around him fits his job. So too, Olam Hazeh is a time of Hishtadlut, therefore the entire world that surrounds us fits our job. Olam Haba is going to be different. It has to be different, because the world has to change in such a way to allow us to receive the reward. So Olam Haba is a different reality to Olam Hazeh, even though it takes place in this world. Because the more this physical world prevails, if you allow this world of Olam Haba, the Olam Haba world, to be as it is, it would darken the soul and prevent it from coming close to Hashem. So this world that we're in right now is considered dark and closed off. As we said, even the word Olam means hidden. He'olam. It's hidden away. We can't see the spiritual world. We have to work hard to try to access it. Olam Haba will not be like that. Yomot HaMashiach, which will end up with Tshiat HaMetim, and will overlap to some degree, is a world fitting for reward. We'll even see the Yetzirah, we're going to see commentators that say that, is going to be lessened and diminished. The spiritual world will be a lot more palpable, much more palpable than it is now. How? I don't know. Right? But we know from the prophets, Bayomahu, Yahshem Echad, Shmo Echad. Those are the words from Jeremiah or Ezekiel. Look it up. We see at the end of Aleinu. Right? When everyone's folding up their talit, running to the Kiddush to eat herring and cholent, those words actually are the perfect finish. Because in those days, Yahshem Echad, Shmo Echad, God will be one whose name will be one. What does that mean? God's one now. It's going to be recognizable. That's where we're going. Okay? So that world, this world is considered dark. It's difficult. It's challenging. It's not easy. You've got work to do. You have to work hard. You've got to deal with people, their annoying habits. You've got to deal with homework and teachers and mortgages one day, amidst Hashem, and all the other stuff you've got to deal with. Not so Olam Haba. V'alken hinei ro'ehu shelo yishlot az el neshama. So in that world, that's the neshama's world. Now, although there will be body and soul in that world, reunited, the soul will control the neshama. I want to give you a metaphor which I should have mentioned last class, but I will mention now. This is not my metaphor, not my mashal, but it's mentioned by the rabbis, so I'll give it over to you. The mashal to describe this battle of guf and neshama is a rider and its horse. Rider and the horse. The rider has to control the horse. The rider cannot get around without the horse. It needs the horse to get around. If the horse takes control, the rider's in big trouble because he's going to end up wherever the horse desires it to be. That's the mashal. Very simple. What's the nimshal? The horse is the guf. The rider is the neshama. It is the soul, the neshama's role and tafkid and job to control the body. When it does that, the two work in unison and can get stuff done. Able to do hishtadlut. When the body has complete control over the body, over the soul, we're in big trouble. It's going to bring it up or bring it down with it. When the rider has control over the body, say Chazal, this is not my analogy, this is given a number of times in the writings among Chazal, that it takes control and is able to achieve what it needs to achieve. Okay, the two are meant to work in unison. Although they're at battle with each other, they're struggling to take dominance. The rider's trying to control the horse, and the horse control the rider. The horse, you've got to grab hold of the reins. Okay, that's really fitting for last class, but put it down anyway into your cerebellums. Okay. Says the Ramchal, V'alkenine roihu shelo yeshtit azal neshama, v'chome yenim shachareya. The soul is going to, the physicality is going to follow after the soul. It's going to take control of it, legamre, totally. There's going to be no more effort in that world. You've got to get it done now. Once Mashiach comes, we'll see, the door closes, that window of opportunity closes, it's all over. Okay? Okay? Because in that world, the neshama is going to have complete control, there is no more hishtadlut, it is just the moment of receiving reward. That's why va'amnam al keniv rushni olam haba. That's why God created two worlds. Olam hazeh, olam haba. We put it in the abbreviated form. If you want the full form, it's up on the board. And he says, Olam hazeh makom v'chokim hatvim. So this whole world, this world, is the place that is set where nature, shaloh hem ma'ash ro'il adam, calls man shishtadlah, which is perfectly fitting for us to achieve through our efforts, what we need to do. Olam haba, and the next world, the whole environment that is the next world, meaning really after Tichat HaMeitim, HaMakom HaChokim Shelo Hem Mashri Lo Bizman Kibul Schar, is perfect receiving reward. I don't know what that means exactly. We can't even fathom Olam Haba. Right? It's like when I was a kid, my teacher used to tell me, it's like trying to think of a new color. Right? You just can't. You ever heard that before? Trying to think of a new, you can't fathom it because you're so ingrained in what you see and what you experience now. But really, there'll be new colors. Actually, Chazal do actually give a similar metaphor for this, as we'll see. They'll say there'll be a eighth note. How many notes do we have now? Seven, right? Right, da na na na, do re mi, so far. Goes back to seven, goes back to one again. In Olam Haba, there'll be an eighth note. Now, those who play or study music, I studied piano for 8 years and got absolutely nowhere. I did better with the guitar. But it's impossible. There is no eighth note, there's only seven, you go back to one again. It doesn't make sense. Right, or a higher octave, but you go back to the. So they use that metaphor. We'll see when it comes to Mashiach. Mashiach will add an eighth, he'll have an eighth string, they say, to his musical instrument. Right. That's not just like he'll be playing music differently. It'll be a different reality at that time. Okay? We're going to see, the prophet's going to talk in great detail what that means in terms of Mashiach. Mitzvah Tameitim, we're not too sure. Yes, Monique.
So if you're not receiving anything until Tziat Tameitim, what's everyone, like when you pass, like what are you doing?
So until then, we're right. So until then, we're in this world, Olam Hazeh, and we're doing the effort to receive the reward.
No, but like, the next world, like, what people consider Olam Haba, but we're saying Tegat HaMeitim to Olam Haba.
Yes.
So what is, like, where your soul hangs out until Tegat HaMeitim comes?
Are you saying Gan Eden? Yeah, which 23 are you talking about?
I guess Gan Eden.
Where our soul hangs out. That's exactly what we're doing. Our souls are hanging out. I have no idea what that means.
I thought that's where you were saying the reward.
No.
No,
it's a holding station. I mean, the reward at that point we'll see means we feel as close as Hashem, and there is benefit, but the real reward that we're talking about, Olam Haba, is referring to after Chiyat HaMeitim. That's actually what it's really referring to. Yes?
What about Arashah?
Arashah we're going to come to. Arashah we're going to come to. There's two possibilities with Arashah. One is, heaven forbid, they are totally wiped out, totally gone, which is not usual. Most will have to go through, and maybe also have to go through Gehenna, which we're going to talk about. The Ramchal will talk about it. We'll do that later on, which is a purifying station for 11 months, or 12 months if they were in Russia, which is where we see a Kaddish for 11 months.
Also, what if a person, isn't there an idea like that your neshama doesn't recycle until you complete all the mitzvahs?
You are talking about reincarnation. We'll spend a few classes on that. That is not one of the principles of our faith, but we are going to spend 2 or 3 classes on reincarnation. Yeah. Great minds think alike.
If it was like a thing you believe in, and then if it was,
so I'll say it again. I'll say it very, very good. I'll say it again. You do not have to believe in it. Reincarnation is not a principle of our faith. If you say, Rabbi, those 2-3 classes on reincarnation you're doing, I believe nothing, no problem. You've got to believe in Gan Eden. You've got to believe in Kibbutz Schar. You've got to believe in Yimat HaMashiach. Number 12, you've got to be in Tchamid, all things you have to believe in, and a lot more. You can read the Torah is true. Torah Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy is greater than that. Those are Ikre and Munasid Raman, principles of our faith. You don't have to be right, you don't have to. Happens to be me right about it. I bring into this course because, first, I find it interesting. Plus, I talk about reincarnation because we have to entertain the Sephardim. And Sephardim love this stuff. You see, all the other staff are half asleep, they're not interested. You start talking about Kabbalah, suddenly they all bring up. So that's what attracts the Sephardim to keep on with this class, okay? I think I'm joking, don't you? You're Sephardi? You'll be asleep for 2 classes. You'll be like, what is this guy talking about?
But no, I was actually, you know how like they'll say, let's say someone comes into this world for such a brief time that they're sick.
We're going to get that. We're going to get to reincarnation later on. I know exactly your question. We're going to bring stories down and examples of that. I'll show you the whole Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechaya's view on it and those who are against it.
Okay.
We're going to get there. Hold your horses. Literally. Yes, Sherelle. Being like reincarnation sounds good to you, right? Reincarnation?
I don't know.
I think it's
fine.
That's not good.
It's just like, you tell us to believe 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Like,
no, I'm not telling you to believe it. These are elements of our faith. That's what we're defining what Judaism is. Judaism says these are, you can study them, we're going to go into them.
But the Torah doesn't say this. It's all the prophets.
This is the Rambam. The Torah, as you're defining it, is the five books of Moses. We'll see that it's actually referenced in there. But the Torah is a lot more than the five books of Moses. It's all of Tanakh and all of the Gemara. That's how we define the Torah. We're taking the general broad view of Torah, not the five books of Moses. Olam Haba is not mentioned in the five books of Moses. And we're going to look at six reasons. This will be after the midterm, I think, yes. Six reasons why, actually at the end of the course, why Olam Haba is not mentioned in the five books of Moses. So we're going to get there.
We should still believe it.
Yes, principle of faith, Ikra Munah. So the Rambam says, you remove one of these, it's not Judaism anymore. You remove Mashiach, it's not Judaism. If you have a small Jewish cult that says, you know, I believe in God, I believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, or I believe the Torah is Minashamayim, I don't believe in Mashiach, the Rambam says, you missed out the whole thing. That area, as opposed to an individual who's trying to learn and understand them, that's different. But if a Jewish group were to say that, of which there are such groups, they are outside of the pale of Jewish life. Okay? Let us go back to Adam HaRishon, to the original Gan Eden, because if we're going to go full circle, we have to begin the circle. So really our course, and this will all make sense at the end of the course, is going to start at one point, which is where we're at right now. We're going to go around, right through Jewish history. I'm going to end up over here again. Everything comes full circle. We are part of one big, fat circle. How long does this circle exist for? Okay, more of a spiral, but okay, I get it. How long does this circle last? Very good. A maximum, we're going to see, of 6,000 years. Where? Does anyone know? Where is this hinted at in the Babel? By the way, Shiral, when I say it sounds like everything's in the Torah, the five books of Moses, right? That's the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is in there. It may not be explicit. Sometimes it's implicit. Sometimes it's hinted at. This is one of those occasions. Does anyone know where in the five books of Moses is hinted at that the world can exist as a maximum of 6,000? It could be less. It could be less. We'll talk about Mashiach. We have the ability to achishena, we'll see, to shorten the amount of time. Yes, Ahava?
Didn't Yitzchak give a bracha and he was going to tell them?
He was going to reveal the end of them. He did not. We'll talk about that later on. However, that's not the amount of time. Talk about the amount of time. So the first pasuk in the Torah is Bereisha bara Elohim et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz. In the beginning, God created heavens and earth. Over there, you'll see the letter Aleph appear six times. The letter word Aleph can also be pronounced Aleph. Aleph means a thousand. So the beginning of creation, I mentioned it because that's where we are right now. At the beginning of creation, we see the Torah itself, say Chazal, say the rabbis, encodes that this war that we're talking about is, well, by the way, I'll mention the Vilna Gaon says, the entire Torah is in Sefer Bereishis. All of Sefer Bereishis is in the book of Bereishis, is in Parasha Bereishis. All of Parasha Bereishis is in the first Pasuk of Bereishis. The entire first Pasuk of Bereishis is in the first word Bereishis. The first word Bereishis is actually in the first letter of Bereishis, the Bet, and the entire first letter is the first dot of Bereishis. It's all there. Which is why Chazal say the letter Bet is the perfect letter to begin the Torah with, because it's a parenthesis. Everything else comes out from it. Put a dot in there. From that one dot. Actually, the Vilna Gaon said, I am that dot. That's what you've heard before, right? In yeshiva, you heard this as kids? No. You're the yeshiva ones, later. That's yeshiva. What are they teaching yeshiva? That's why we don't know what happened before. We don't try to go beforehand. It's impossible. Our brains cannot fathom. We understand Bereishis Bara, that point on, we understand what came before creation, what came before the universe and everything in it, we don't understand. Even you see magazines, they look at the timeline of history, they always start with a point, then they like go out like a cone shape forwards. You see what I'm talking about? We start at one point. Before then, the mind doesn't get it. That's the Bet. Okay? So we see the Aleph is Aleph. So we know that this creation thing, as a maxim, as we know it, exists for 6,000 years. After that, there is definitely going to be a change. We are able, when we get to Mashiach, we'll describe it, to pull that end forward to reduce the amount of time that we're engulfed. We have that ability. Monique. Looking very businesslike today, by the way. You have an interview? Yeah. Interview for what?
Well, it's a mock interview, but you have to dress professional for that reason. But good luck. I don't really understand that, having you to, first of all, to pick the olive out of that one sentence.
So that's how you dash into it. These are, the Torah comes in four forms. Paradis. Let's write this down as well. Okay, all Torah comes in four forms. You got to know this stuff. Sorry. Right? The pe is pshat, resh is remez, vav is drush, and that's sod. So pshat is the basic understanding. What's pshat? Rashi gives us pshat. Rashi is explaining, he's translating words. Okay? Sometimes, however, you get remez. Things are hinted at inside the words, inside the psukim. Then sometimes you get drush. Things are deeper, they're pushed deeper, and then you get sod, which means secret, also means foundations. This is Kabbalah. What you get over here is paradise. Paradise is an orchard. You see famous stories in the Torah about Rabbi Akiva. They went into an orchard, right? They're not out apple picking. It's not a little outing which I've taken with my children, right? Paradise means they went to the deepest level of the Torah, and that's why the very famous Gemara, Rabbi Akiva, was allowed to study. He's actually the greatest Kabbalist that ever lived, probably. He went to the deepest levels of understanding of Torah, of the foundations of Torah, of the Sod. The other rabbi, one went crazy, one became a heretic, one died. Okay, Rabbi Akiva, through the grace of God, allowed to enter and leave. That's paradis. So you start with pshat, by the way, they say, right, Sephardim are different. Sepharad, right? They start learning Kabbalah first, right? That's what Rabbi used to say. It's cute. Okay, so you're right. That's not pshat. Now this is drush. Oh, it's in the Gemara. This is brought down. It's part of the oral Torah. Right? The Torah is not five books of Moses. There's an oral Torah which comes and learns out and gets it out of the Torah itself. That's what Torah learning really is all about. Yes?
Did you see the letter Aleph 6 times in the word Aleph?
The letter Aleph appears 6 times in the first verse of the Bible. And they say Chazal means Aleph. Okay. Let us go back.
So what's that letter?
That's a Resh Dalet Samach.
Yeah.
Remez.
Oh.
There's Zayin at the end. Okay. Let's go back to the beginning over here before we make our way all around over the next few months we're together. There's something else to the Ramchal you should know. I like what he writes, isn't that cool? Something else you should know. This mankind, what you see in terms of the world now is not the way it used to be. What you see mankind is now, what you see around you now, is not the way it started. I'm on page 4, note 1, part C. Got it? The world has changed. Ki olam shinui gadol hayabo. There was a great change. A great change that happened. For inyan chetot shal Adam Rishon. This happened with the sin of Adam in the Garden of Eden. Shinishtane bo'adam, mankind changed, va'olam mimashayu b'tchila, changed from what it was originally. There was a plan A. Plan A was removed, and then plan B kicked in. What we see around us now is plan B. We are trying to return, ultimately, back to plan A as it was. That's really what universe, life, and everything is all about. And the number 42. No Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy people, I see. Okay. Shinish Bo Adam. Okay, Bulam. However, Pratya Shinu Hazeh, V'toletem Rabim. We'll see there are many, many reasons and many details about this change. Vonadvar bam the funim siat shma, and he says we're going to talk about the nimsa shadibur bamina nishoy bavchana benashav kfulim. We speak of man's environment. We have to make a distinction. Ki yedover ba or benashav or mevchanav kodem chait. There was world before the sin. Vodera ba or benasovav or mevchanat achar chait. There was world after. So this world is divided into two sections. Before the sin of Adam and Eve when they ate from the Eis HaDaas. and after. That's the point of which he makes a difference. And he says, as we will explain a little later, Hine, Adam Rishon be'et Yetzirato. What was Adam Rishon like at the time of his creation? Hayah mamash be'otam matzav shezchono ad hena. He was precisely the state that we have discussed until now. He had two opposites. Dahainu, Hine hu hayah murkav mishtei chalakim. He had a body and he had a soul. Adam Rishon was a real person. He had a body, he had a soul. Sh'amu shehem hanasham avad guf. It wasn't some like spiritual being floating around. He was body and soul. Hayu shnei ninam hatov v'ra. He had good and bad. For omed b'shikul b'nem. And he was between them. L'dabek b'mashus amem. He had a choice. He had free will. He had b'chira. This is important. He had free will. Free will meaning he had the window of opportunity to make ethical and correct decisions. If he did not have free will, you can't blame Adam HaRishon for eating from the Eitz HaDaas. He could choose. He deliberately... Now, why is all the discussion? You'll discuss in your Bible classes. I'm not going to over here. But for whatever reason, he and Sarah chose to eat... Chava chose to eat from the... So I was teaching Avraham Avinu and Sarah Maynard in the previous class, so Sarah's in my head. Right? He chose to eat from it. He was body and soul. He had a desire, and he had the ability to choose. Okay? Oh, sorry. The appropriate thing that he should have done was choose good. What was the first mitzvah given to Adam Rishon? To eat from everything. Right? We said the second one was a lo sase, do not eat from this tree. He had the ability to have his soul choose over his body, his mind over his desires. Had he done this, he would have been absolutely perfected immediately, and he would have remained perfect for the rest of history. Now, we don't know exactly what the world would have looked like had he chosen not to eat from the Eitz HaDaas. We don't fully comprehend what the world would be like, because we don't fully understand what Gan Eden is. We don't understand Maaseh Bereishis. As we said, one of the deepest tractates of the Kabbalah, they say, of understanding, is Maaseh Bereishis and Maaseh Merkava. Right? Maaseh Bereishis, we can't fully understand it. But world history would not have been the way it is now. Okay? Look at the bottom of the page. Let's finish this off. It's getting really interesting. But Sarah Shetayda, and you really got to know this. He's getting excited now. She'af al pi, even though, she'en anu margishim l'neshama b'guf, we don't feel the soul in our body. He's been speaking of body and soul. You don't feel the soul. You can't smell it. You can't taste it. Right? Because it provides us with life and the ability to think. So the only thing that allows us to be aware is that we have the ability to think. Right? That gives us an awareness. Otherwise we don't get it. The fact that we can think and we have life allows us to access the soul. You can't touch it, you can't smell it, you can't hear it. Right? But the fact that you have ability to think, that's good enough. I think, therefore, I am. He didn't say that, by the way. That was Descartes, I think. Hine be'emet yesh b'chuka shetasech etzem aguf v'chumro. You have to realize the soul has another function, and that is to purify the body. V'talo iloy acher iloy ad shiyeh ru'ish le'atav ima v'hana v'shlimut. The soul has the power to elevate the body step by step, until even the body can derive pleasure and from perfection along with the soul. Eventually the body is going to, I guess the point, the two marry themselves together and the body can be lifted up. However, the Devar Zahai Adam Rishon Magia Elolochet. If Adam Rishon had not sinned, he would have been able to get this without any restraint. There would have been no body to hold him back. The body would have helped him. The body was there, he had a body. But the body would have been the vehicle to achieve it. Now the body fights back. Right, the soul says, I want to go up, I want to be on time for Torah class with Rabbi Hadjioff. And the body says, now I'll stay in bed for another 3 hours. because I went to bed at, like, you know, 4 a.m, see? Which is the, yeah, so there's this constant struggle that's happening. So he says, had he not sinned, what would have happened is, he explains it, he says that the soul would have lifted up and the body would have gone up with it, right? And many descriptions of Adam HaRishon, of that his body shone very brightly and it was pure and you could see through it, it was almost like crystal, you could see through it. These are metaphors to say that the body itself was physical, but it was in harmony with the soul. And the body would have had absolute enjoyment and pleasure of being connected to the soul forever and ever. Let's turn over. But that's not what happened. Let's see what happened because of the sin. Something entered the world which was not going to enter into the world. Does anyone know what that big thing is? What's the big thing entered the world? Confusion is one thing. That's right. Things are usually black and white. After the sin, we see that they were confused, they had to cover themselves. By the way, notice that they only had to get dressed and put on fig leaves, right, or some physical thing after the chait. Before then, they weren't even aware, right? They weren't aware they were naked. After the chait, saying they were naked, they're, oh, I can't walk around, I'm naked, why? After the sin, things happened. Suddenly there was a realization, the body took on more of a chumriyot, took on more of a physicality, right? What entered this world, however, after the sin, which wasn't there beforehand, yes? One second, let me just answer this question, I'll come to your confusion. He went into them and death. Death. The idea of death was not part of plan A, that was plan B. Like, people were meant to die. Plan B was that death should come in. Your confusion. Good. Okay, fantastic. Says the Ramchal. Let's finish this today, and then we can move on to our main subject. The Kiva Shachit Adam Rishon, Nishtangavam Shanu Gadol, when Adam sinned, this was greatly altered. This whole pre-Adam reality was greatly altered afterwards. The amount of evil that existed was just enough. B'shior Mashiach Mitzarach Shalishia Adam Rishon B'metzav Shikol Shezacharanu. The amount of evil in this world was just enough. It was minimal. Minimal, that it was just enough that he could make a choice. Just make a choice. V'yelo makom larvich et hashlemut v'yagir kapav. He could achieve perfection. Evil was there, but it was so small that it was like a strand of hair he could just jump over. He had it. He had to have free will. He wouldn't be human. Humanity, by definition, means they have the free will. We humans, as we'll see, are unique in the fact that we have free will. Animals do not, and angels do not, which is why, in Jewish thought, humans are above angels. In other religions, lahavdil, angels are seen as the superior being. That is not so. In Judaism, angels, they work for us. Right? You see Yitzchak, the Avram, angels around telling them what to do. Right? Rashi says, malachim mamash. Right? They work for us. They're like spiritual robots that do our bidding. Right? I mean, persons, they're there to protect us, but sometimes they used to protect us, they're there for us. Okay? Not so humans. We are considered greater because we have this thing called free will. We have good and evil invested inside us, and therefore we have to overcome these desires. Animals also do not have free will, which is why I didn't want to say this so early, because this upsets people very, very much. Animals don't go to heaven. Your dog does not go to heaven. I know. This upsets people more than telling them that their grandmother wouldn't go to heaven for some reason. Like, oh, that serves them right. But my dog going to heaven, I'm very sorry. You can enjoy your dogs in this world. But the dog owners right now are fuming over this. But the reason being, I mention not just to upset you, I mention it because dogs don't have free will. You don't have free will. You don't choose between good and bad. And therefore, you don't get to Olam Haba. Olam Haba, by definition, comes to those that struggle with good and bad. Adam Rishon, in order to be human, it had to be have good and bad. The bad, however, was very, very, very small, says the Ramchal. Okay? That's why Pirush, he explains it. Second paragraph, look inside. If Adam Rishon was very, very easy to do the right thing. Very, very easy. We don't understand this. We will one day. Buddha understands this right now. It's very easy to do the right thing. It was just very obvious. Because that's the way God set it up. God set up, there had to be some bad, and he had to have some free will, or he would be human, and wouldn't be rewarded for his good acts, and wouldn't be punished for his bad acts. You can't be rewarded for good if you don't have a choice to do bad, and you can't be punished for your bad if you don't have a choice to do good. It makes no sense. It had to be that he had free will, Adam Rishon. But it was very different to what we know now. Right? Now it's very, 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 very grey. There's a real mishmash. God did Adam Rishon a favor and made him in a way that, that was everything was good and straight. That's how he was made. He was able to go away from the bad straight into the good, and therefore leave the bad stuff and be rewarded with good things. But when he sinned, interesting. The Shleimut was Nistar. What's Nistar? Hidden. Achieving perfection is hidden. It's unclear. This world is murky. We don't know what's going on. Vayahu Hagorim Ra'al Atzmo. He did it to himself because he had free will. Hine lo yeh od kol kach kal. It suddenly did not become so easy. Now he's talking about us. It's not so easy. Lo shuv, to return. To leave deficiency, and achieve greatness, as it was back then. He didn't earn perfection, he was just made that way. Nowadays, the effort that is required is kaful, it's double, he says. Now we have to put in so much effort, right? Which is why this world is short. Because Adam Rishon started up in that world, and then after this, and afterwards, it turned and made things much more difficult in order to reach perfection. So the next paragraph, I don't want to go into great detail, but he mentions the fact we mentioned. Part of the after chate reality is death. One second, Rachel, one second. What's your name again? Chavi. This is your Pasha, Chava, right? It's all about you. First woman, how'd you feel? Great, you should be. So over here we see that he says, since evil starts to proliferate in this world, a consequence of evil, consequence of post chate, is death, is Misa. That the body dies, and this he refers to as a time of Yemot HaGuf Yifsad, it's a period of absence, meaning death for mankind, and removal from the world. However, he says, turn over the page, however, he says, ultimately this all comes around, and at some point, the body and the soul, after death, will reunite, and that's Tchiyat HaMetim. That's the ultimate connection, like it was for Adam HaRishon, that the body and soul will unite, but at that point, the effort will not be required, because that's Olam Haba, and at that point, he says, we will reach a place where everything will be much clearer, and the evil will be greatly reduced to almost non-existent, that we can receive the reward of Olam Haba. Okay? He also mentions the 6,000 years that the world will exist, that the world has to go through in order to reach that point. Introduction finished. Questions? Questions? Javi, you have a question. That's a good question. We'll leave that for Bible class. According to many people, one of the reasons, and we'll mention this one, is the famous one. He chose to sin because part of being human, Adam Rishon, part of being human is achieving. He had a what's called a bread of shame, is the expression, right? Meaning that it was just given to him. He didn't have to work for it. Part of being human is that we achieve satisfaction by achievement. Therefore, according to some commentators, he sinned on purpose, so that mankind would go down and achieve the greatness they have to achieve. So two people standing on top of a mountain. One has worked his way through many days of battling to get to the top, and one is being dropped off by helicopter. Both in the same place. One has more satisfaction than the other. Who's that? The one who's worked his way there. Right? This idea, the shameful just giving of a free gift, was not sufficient. So they say, he decided, suppose it was the wrong decision, which is hard, it's hard to understand. But he chose that way in order that mankind should achieve greatness rather than give it to him. The question, however, is better than the answer. Yes, Monique.
So for that one, my only question on that is, but it was Chava who did it first, kind of. And if she didn't have that in mind, like maybe even the thought came to him from her, but what if
You're saying very, very good. So Chava was definitely part of this reality. And she extinguished the light of the world, and they will see that's one of the reasons that women light the Shabbat candles to fix this whole thing up. She was part of it, but Adam was not blameless.
So you're saying that's only an answer to why he did it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my question is, if Mashiach will come, like, is it no matter what that he'll come?
Yes, it is a given. All prophecies from the prophets, all of them that are positive, must happen. They are a given. That's a principle. All the negative prophecies for the prophets do not need to happen. Through Teshuvah, we are able to fix them up so they do not occur. But it is a given, a principle, a postulate of our faith. You know, postulates are, there's like a whole bunch of them in math, right? Certain givens, like the, I don't know, the point between two points, straight line is the fast way to connect them, or if you put your grandmother in the draft at the Pesach table, she's going to complain. Certain things that are a given, this is a given. Mashiach must come. Does that answer your question?
But what if, like, humankind is so much worse than...
Great. So there's two ways of Mashiach... When we get there... Everyone's jumping to the Mashiach thing. When we get there, we'll see. There's two ways Mashiach can come. That we're really, really, really good, says the Gemara, or we're so bad, and things are going so badly, that we just have to Mashiach. And by the way, those two forms of Mashiach coming, or we're going to see two different ways that Mashiach is going to reveal himself. Either miraculously... thunder, lightning, Beit HaMikdash from the Shemayim, or him coming modestly on a donkey, on his chamor, meaning in a very ordinary, non-miraculous fashion. So even the way Mashiach comes is left to us. When Mashiach comes is in our hands, as we'll see, which is unusual in of itself, that we have the power to bring Mashiach, why should that be? Hashem decides when, that's the end of it. But that has been left in our hands, and the way he comes as well. But that he is coming is a given. It's number 12, Ikre Emunah. Ani Mamin, B'mur Shlema, Shubim Shech, Afal Pisha, Yitmameh, Im Kalze Achakilo. Alrighty. Five more minutes. So let's just do the body, and then we'll do the soul. We're on page 6, halfway down. So, we've spoken body and soul. According to what we've read, the body should be like not important, and the soul should be important. Right? The body, we said, is physical, it dies, death comes into this world, it goes into the ground, it rots. So for us, why do we even care about the body? Very good. So the mere fact that the body houses the soul, gives it a level of holiness. Let me give you a mundane example for this. A Torah is holy, correct? A piece of velvet, is that holy? No. There is nothing intrinsically holy about a piece of fabric called velvet. However, when you adorn a Torah with its cover, the cover itself retains an element of holiness. Tashmish Kedusha. We kiss it. The cover itself, why should that be? Because it is nogei, it touches the spiritual. That which touches it takes on an element of the holiness itself. So to the body. The body for us is not seen as a garbage utensil that just we schlep around, right? Which is so physical that it carries its own, you know, feces, right? Such a physical, chumriya thing that we're not impressed with. We're like, no, it has importance. It has a level to it that we have to respect. Because it is the container within which the soul is deposited, and therefore it's influenced by it. So we Jews say there's a mitzvah to take care of the body. Let's have a look at a Gemara on this on page 6. Tanya, Hayera Mea Oimer, Adam Rishon, Mikola Olam Kula Hutzva Ofra, was created from dirt gathered from the entire earth. Rav Ushia, Mishmeid Rav, Rav Ushia in the name of Rav, Adam Rishon Gufam Bavel. His body came from Bavel, from Babylon, Rosh Hashem Eretz Yisrael. His head, however, came from Eretz Yisrael, Vivarav Bishar Atzot, and the limbs from all the other lands. Now, I don't know if this is a literal description. It could be. I'm sure those who understand it that way. But, just on the surface of this Gemara, we see that the body itself was created with thought. It was just a dump of dirt that was thrown together. The physical human body itself has a importance to it. I would therefore like to learn a piece of Rambam from the Mishnah Torah, which my rabbi used to call the least studied Rambam anywhere. Going to yeshivas, they're not studying this Rambam. This Rambam is in the Mishnah Torah, by the way. It is found in Hilchot Deot. And it's in, I advise you just to read through it, read it in the English even. I've taken a piece of it, but this piece of Rambam is fascinating. It goes through health guidelines, what you should eat, what you should not eat, not kosher, health-wise. Your bodily functions, he talks a lot about bodily functions, going to the bathroom, right? A major part of health and briot, which we Jews are obsessed with as well, let's face it, okay? But he talks about the body and taking care of your health. It's a small piece, I've just taken a selection of it, the key part of it. Let's study what's probably the least studied Rambam. Yes, this is the Rambam speaking. Yasim alibo, a person should put into his and her heart, she gufo shalem, that your body should be whole. V'chazek, chazak and strong, kidei she'e nafsho, so that your soul can be yeshara, straight, ledatat Hashem, to know God. I've never heard this Rambam before. It's in the Mishnah Torah. People never read it before. You know what? You have to take care of your body. You've got to eat well. You've got to sleep well. You've got to exercise so that your soul can know God. I.e., if your body is in pain, your soul is going to have trouble relating to God. You cannot be a functioning, spiritual, observant Jew if your body is not taken care of. Your body has to be taken care of so that you can worship Hashem. That's exactly what he's saying. She'i efshar, it's impossible, says the Rambam. She'yavin, that you will understand. Vistakal b'chachmot, that you can understand and be wise and be involved in wisdom. V'hurav, and you're constantly hungry. V'chole, and you're sick. V'chad mevurav koeva, one of your limbs hurts you. Right? Don't expect to be a spiritual person if your body is irrelevant. You've got to sleep well. You've got to eat well. You've got to take care of your body. You've got to visit a doctor. Ad she gufa shalem. When your body is whole, by the way, he goes into great detail explaining what foods you should eat, how you should eat it, in what order you should eat your foods. It's fascinating. Go to the library, or I'm sure online as well, look up Hilchot Deot. It should be in the English. It'll take you 5 minutes. It's fascinating what he says. It was written nearly 1,000 years ago. It's still very relevant today. Your body has to be whole. La'avodat Hashem. You can serve God. Va'filu b'shashu yashen. Even when you sleep, im yashen, if you sleep, ledat, with the knowledge, kedei she'tenuach data, you can rest your mind, right? Allah, v'yenuach gufa, and you're resting your body, kedei she'lo yechaled, you won't be sick, lo yochal lavod et Hashem. Because that's the best thing, because you can't serve Hashem without that. So sleeping itself becomes a spiritual activity, because why am I sleeping? So I can be strong, so I can serve Hashem during the day. Don't care of your body. Your soul is going to suffer, not just your body. Broken body, broken soul. Now, we've all heard stories of great rabbis who had great afflictions. I don't know. Maybe that's what happened to them. For us, as functioning Jews, We have to sleep well. Here at Stern College, people say, I got 3 hours sleep last night. You're doing an Avera. The Rambam even tells you how long you have to sleep. Does anyone know what the Rambam says? He gives an actual number. 8 hours. 8 hours. Sounds so good. Eight hours. He says a third of your 24-hour day should be asleep. Anyone here get 8 hours? I get 8 hours since I was a baby. By the way, you can get 7 at night and 1 during the day. Just not in my class, by the way. Just that. Make sure that 1 hour isn't here with me right now. Yeah.
So I get why, like, when we're mourning, we fast, but if we're trying to connect, like, spiritually, like, on a deeper, like.
Okay. So that's a good question. I won't do it now. I will say, however, there are fast days, and fasting once in a while is actually good for a person's body and good for a person's soul. However, let's not get out of proportion. There are 6 fast days in the Jewish year. There are 80 feasting days. 6 fasting, 80 feasting. Dayenu. Okay. We shall stop over there because there's a new topic which is going to take more time. Thank you, everyone. If anyone has not, thank you. Shabbat shalom.